Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Welcome back, listeners, to Heart of the Psalmist. This is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted. Good to be here with you today. So, for today's episode, I'm going to bring back a guest that we had for episode 10, a show that dealt with building a balanced culture of worship in which you as a creative arts ministry leader are developing not only the skill set of your team, but also the heart of your team. That guest was Pastor Austin Corley. And when we recorded that show, that interview was so good, I told him that we might as well go ahead and get a second show that I would air at a later date. And I'm going to air that show now. And our topic is care for the people. You know, it's so easy in creative arts ministry to become consumed with the work that we lose sight of the very people we're called to serve. And that's the question today. If you are a creative arts ministry leader, do you love the people that you're leading? And also, for all those who serve in worship ministry and creative arts ministry, do you care for the congregation that God has called you to serve? This is a great conversation with Pastor Austin Corley. As with episode 10, there were a few audio difficulties, but the content is great. Hope you enjoy it. Check it out.
Well, I have a guest back in the studio with me again. I have Mr. Austin Corley again in the studio. It's good to have you back, brother.
So good to be back, man. I appreciate it.
I remember our previous interview. We had a great conversation about developing balanced culture. We talked about making sure that we're not only feeding and ministering to the musical and technical side, but also that we're also ministering to the spiritual side or the heart of the person. And today we want to take that to a horizontal dimension and talk about having a heart for the people. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that verse, but this conveys and shows us the incredible heart that God has for people.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, if we're going to be the light of Christ through our creativity, we need to have that same heart. So what we want to talk about today, listeners, is as creative people, whether you are a musician, whether you are a singer, whatever creative gift God has given you and you're serving in the local church, you know, how can we make sure that we have a heart for the people? And what does that mean? What does that entail for how we actually approach ministry? Yeah. I think that's where we got to get to.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and jump into this conversation, Austin. And, you know, I'll ask you the question, why is having a heart for God from what you've experienced and what the Word of God tells us, why is that so critical?
You're modeling Him. You're modeling after the image of Christ. I think the selflessness of God sending His Son to die for us, and then the selfless acts of Christ getting to know the sick and those who others, the Pharisees and Sadducees, didn't want to hang around. Just this religious nature of not identifying relationally with the people who God is looking at and wanting to save and wanting to heal and change. We're modeling after Him when your focus is relational with the people who you're serving with or you're serving. Mm-hmm. The greatest of us will be the servant. Mm-hmm. The humble shall be exalted. And so you get put in these positions of being able to serve people. And when you immediately think that you're supposed to be one being served, mm-hmm. You're waiting for people to relate to you opposed to you relating to them. And so it's been my experience that I'm always looking for, number one, the relational value being increased by those who I serve with, so that I can then serve those in our local congregation based on what they need and where they are. And you need a team to be able to do that. So you're not the only one, but it starts with a one-to-one connection. I mean, even our relationship, it started with a one-to-one connection. I saw you growing up and said, hey, how do I get what he has? And you decided to be a servant to me. And I'm like, how do I deserve that? That you would give me information and, you know, look out for me and mentor me as a big brother. And so I do that same thing as a cyclical effect, not only with those who I serve with, but serving among and under others.
So I like when we talk because we've known each other for a long time. Yeah. So the energy gets going. I like something you just said that I want to park it. I want to dive into. You alluded to the fact that the way that you relate as a leader, and those who listened to the previous episode, but if you didn't, you know, Austin serves in leadership in Creative Arts Ministry. Yeah. So, but something that he just said, I hope listeners that you caught this, that the way that he relates to his team has a direct impact to how they relate to the congregation.
Right.
So again, we're back to this impact that the leader has. So can you speak to that for a second? You know, how can I, or anyone listening that's in leadership in Creative Arts Ministry, how can I, just with the team, we're not even dealing with the congregation yet. This is just with the Creative Arts team, your singers and musicians, how can you develop strong relationship with them? What are some things that you can do?
That's a great question. I think being intentional on knowing the people who you're in ministry with. The Bible says, know who you labor among.
That's right.
I know the names of my musicians, and I mean, we have a lot of them. And it's different depending on the size of your church. But you want to be intentional on first letting people know that you want to know them. Mm-hmm. And so you get to the level of knowing names and different family members connected to those people and how they came to your church, how they came to Christ. These one-on-one connections with the people who you're serving with, that way you have a familial relationship. And we talked about it on the last podcast of how Jesus was close to his disciples and even closer to some than others. So it doesn't mean that you have to know every single person. It doesn't mean that you want to be intentional on making sure that your team knows you're investing in them beyond their creative ability, beyond the thing that they provide for ministry. But I care about your life. I care about the substance of the thing that God cares about in you. And if I can grow that and cultivate that, and you can help grow me in that, because it isn't just about my investment in you, but what can I learn from you as well, then I think we've started this great foundation of a family atmosphere, mm-hmm. so that this doesn't feel like work, but this is literally us, you know, being a family serving in the house of God.
Wow. And you said something that I think we need to dig into, because I think we just expose a wounds point here where musicians and singers, right? Do you really care about me, or do, and I'm just sitting in the seat of a musician now, not the one that's in leadership, but the one that's following someone like us who leads.
Yeah.
Do you care about my gift?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you care about me?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are, and there may be some listeners here who are listening who feel that way. They're wounded because, man, they're saying to themselves, I bet if I didn't play, they wouldn't care what else I was doing. There may be musicians who are struggling financially. And not that the church needs to pay their bills. That's not what we're saying. They may be struggling in their marriage. But because the emphasis, and I think sometimes often unintentionally, the emphasis has been so much on music production. Come on, get your set list ready. All that note wasn't right. Again, those things are important. But because we've neglected them as a whole person, what can happen to a creative person who experiences that kind of neglect? What can happen?
Yeah, I've seen it, and I've been in those, if you will, compromising positions to where you... First, I think is a good controversial point, especially with the listeners hearing, to ask this question: how often do pastors care beyond the thing that they're being provided, mm-hmm. with those who are serving in ministry?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of your listeners would either be convicted by that if they're in that role of not caring beyond, or they're one of the listeners feeling like, man, he's talking about me. I feel like I'm only here to sing, and that's the only reason people call me or respect me. But the overall essence of that is we've lost this culture. this heart for serving. And so we think that our greatest thing to do isn't providing something for someone else. It's better to give than it is to receive.
Correct.
And so we've become a receiving culture. This is a receiving time. And so whatever you can provide for my ministry, whatever aim I have or ambition that I have, if you fit in that, then we can go to higher heights. But it's not often enough the question of how do I serve this person who's coming into this door. Not only are they providing something for our ministry, but God, what am I supposed to be providing and serving for them? And so it's important, as just in a relationship with family, that we're looking for the way of how we serve one another, opposed to feeling comfortable in the way we have been served. That's a wound that I mentioned initially, saying that it can be compromising, because I've been in those situations to where other leaders will look at those who are participating in ministry and serving as those who just provide this gifting or this talent. And then I won't view them that way. But then it makes me look like I'm against our leadership, because I'm caring about them on a life level, on a family level, on a what can I do for you level. And so certain people in leadership might not know what's happening one-to-one between me and them, but I'm doing my best to serve them. And then it drives this wedge of why they're connected with you more than they're connected with others. Well, I mean, it's compromising, not because I made it that way, but because I'm being intentional on serving this person, opposed to being so grateful that they play keys for me, or they play drums for me, or they sing this song so great. No, what can I do to be able to help your life flourish, your relationship with God, your family flourish? And when you connect with people on that level, they give God, they give the house, they serve you in a way that's beyond just this financial, you know, expectation, just this notoriety in church, or put me on camera for this scene in ministry thing. It becomes more, for lack of better terms, it just becomes more heart relational with that, more connected, if you will.
Right. And so the music doesn't disappear. The technology is still there, but there's a deeper connection that we now foster. And, you know, we have that connection. I have that with other people, to where we do things for each other, but we do it from a standpoint of relationship, you know. So that's a great thing. And I think some of those things could be simple as, you know, like you said earlier, getting to know people, get to know their families, get to know their children's names, know what's going on in their life at their comfort level and at your comfort level. If they're hurting, can you do something? And sometimes it's just a matter of showing that you care. Yeah. Come over and eat tonight. You're struggling. So just those small things that we can do that makes people feel that we care about the whole person, not just the gift that they use to contribute to what we do.
Yeah.
So that's the team. And so now once we do that with our team, and now we're cultivating this relational thing, now then this spills over into the congregation, you know. And one thing that I have seen, and been guilty of myself, you know, and strive now to push against, is that I don't see the congregation as my audience. I see them as people who need God.
Yeah.
Why is it so important for us to, when we're talking about this horizontal view that we got to have of people, to see the congregation? Because I just think that, especially now in this culture, you know, we got stuff like American Idol, The Voice, you know, just all that the music ministry is, and we often see a stage as a stage is for me. This is my moment. And often, sometimes, we're not even concerned that the people aren't responding. Well, that's just them. They're not there today. Mm-hmm. You know, but why is it so critical for us, you know, once we have this dynamic within our team, to make sure that we desire that same connection and want to foster something, a great experience for the congregation? Can you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, we want to provide a place for God to inhabit. Mm-hmm. He inhabits the praises of his people. If our heart and our minds and our goals from a tangible standpoint aren't all inclusive of trying to make sure that we're fostering this place of all hands being lifted, all praises unto God, not just those coming from the platform, then we've missed a way of how God can literally inhabit that atmosphere. And so maybe some things aren't happening in the room. I just suggest this, not that I know this for sure, but maybe they're not happening because our aim isn't to make sure that it's all inclusive, to make sure that we have reached people from a cultural standpoint, if you have a diverse cultural room, so that they feel like they're able to praise in a way that's in a way comfortable for them. And I don't mean that their comfort precedes the environment and the relationship of God and their one-on-one connection, but I do think that we express our relationship with God differently. Mm-hmm. We can all worship and that expression look different. And so when you're tapping into the different ways of how people express and what makes them feel comfortable to do so, or what's more native to their tongue or to their cultural expression, then you've provided a way for literally everyone to have an access to be able to praise him so that God can inhabit that. I oftentimes believe that we miss servicing our congregation with a way of how to be able to worship God by looking at them as an audience. No, you're an active participant. Exactly. In this moment of how we're reaching heaven. And so I believe that different activity levels of the Holy Spirit is ignited when we have touched our participants with one another, our brothers and our sisters, in a way that they all feel like they're included in this worship experience.
Yeah. Let's just dive in and just take this to a very practical level. So you mentioned native. I like that word because now you're digging into culture. And by that, I think you mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is just an example. You know, if you're in a congregation and the congregation, the median age is 50, and you have a true sincere heart to worship, but you're doing all CCM songs.
Yeah.
And you never do hymns. Or vice versa, the median age is 25. And, you know, you grew up and your grandma told you that you got to sing hymns or you're not going to heaven. And hymns are great. Theology is great. But I think we can miss a point. So what we've automatically hit on is this takes some thought, right? And some planning and preparation to where we have to really get creative and intentional and take what's in our heart and put it in a practical sense in how we plan. So can you just speak to that as we get closer to the end here? What are some practical things we can do so that we are being multi-generational in our planning, that we're being multicultural, that we're considering all these things to make sure that we really are speaking the native language of the people that we're servicing? What are some things you would recommend?
Yeah, you have to pay attention to your congregation, to your brothers and sisters. We have a multicultural church, or should I say multiracial, in that there are a lot of races being represented. So there's this Hispanic culture that's pretty large, but then that's separate from Brazilians than it is from those from Puerto Rico. And so Brazilians speak Portuguese. So if you sing a song that's in Spanish, like, you've reached a certain aspect of that level of membership, but you haven't reached all of that culture. So if you do Spanish and you do Portuguese and you have a large population of your church that's, you know, Latin American or Latin, now you've touched a different level by doing both sides opposed to just one. You need to know your congregation. Like, what are the demographics of your church? With us, we have multiple services. And so there's a different way of how we natively attract our older congregation, those who come earlier, than those who come to our later services in the afternoon, are kind of, you know, the ones who they got their extra rest that night, or at least in the morning. And so now they're coming to the afternoon. And so if you, to your point, you used a great example, if you have an older membership and everything that you're playing is super fast and super loud, the majority of the complaints you're going to get is, this was too loud and where are all the hymns? And we get that at our church, especially for our morning service. So can you please turn the volume down? Or, hey, sound guy, what's going on? Or the lights are moving too fast. But at our 11 o'clock service, it's a little different. And so sometimes, especially when you have a pastor who's sensitive, you're able to provide certain music levels, certain song choices, certain lyrical content with the songs that you're choosing that kind of matches those who are in different places in different rooms at different times. So we use multi-tracks. They're pushed at a different volume at our 11 and 1 o'clock service, which is a practical thing, than they are at 9 a.m. We incorporated a hymn not only for all three of our services so that everybody can be identifying our hymns and the theology behind that, so our younger generation isn't forsaking the shoulders that we're standing on, but also specifically so that our 9 o'clock doesn't feel like there's nothing catering to them. So it's catering specifically to them while also teaching our younger congregation. So those are just some intentional things that we do at our church.
That's awesome. You know, to sum it all up, when we have a heart for God, when we have a heart for people, we not only cultivate that within our team, but then we also, within our team, with our preparation, we make sure that we express that to them.
Yeah.
And that goes into the way that we plan, the songs that we pick. We think multi-generationally, we think multiculturally, to make sure that we're saying to you, your culture matters to me.
Yeah.
It may be foreign to me, right? I'm African-American, you are Portuguese, but guess what? Your race and your culture, that's something God gave you, that's sacred. So I'm going to try to do the best that I can to create something that speaks to that. So that's awesome. Well, we're out of time today. Any final things that you want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, just that we're all speaking one language when everybody feels represented. And when you're able to touch everybody's heart, and not that you're going to be able to do it every single service or that people aren't going to feel left out, but when you're able to be all inclusive in your intentions and in your relationship, then you provided a way for us to be able to reach heaven in a way that has one sound and one voice.
That's awesome. Well, thanks again, Mr. Austin. I'm sure that this will not be the last time that the listeners hear you on Heart of the Psalmist. But that's all that we have today. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Well, that was a great conversation with Pastor Austin Corley. Very important that those of us who lead creative arts ministry truly care about our team beyond the music. And for all who serve in worship and creative arts ministry, that we truly care for the congregation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was God's love for people that prompted him to send Jesus Christ. Well, that's all for today at Heart of the Psalmist. When you have some time, share us on your social media platform and go to iTunes, comment on the show, and rate us. Take care, keep your heart towards God, and we'll talk to you soon.